Welcome back to the Deep Dive. For most organizations, when they face the threat of, say, a labor strike, the whole conversation just snaps immediately to the legal side. What are our rights? Or the operational mess, how do we keep things running?
Yeah, it's usually panic stations on those two fronts.
Exactly. But the source material we're digging into today, this really practical strike communications playbook, it completely flips that. It argues a strike isn't primarily legal or operational. It says it's actually a high-stakes communication challenge, first and foremost.
Right. And what's really different here is how it elevates communications. It's not just, you know, sending out an email. It treats it as a core work stream, basically on par with operations and legal.
A core work stream.
Yeah. And the goal isn't just muddling through. It's about making sure the organization speaks with, well, one voice. And that's tough because you've got three really different audiences,
yeah.
Customers, the union, and critically, your own staff, both the ones striking and the ones still working.
Okay, so that's our mission for you today then. We're going to pull out the frameworks, the actual checklist, the KPIs, the things you need to keep services going, protect that brand trust, and maybe, just maybe, create a space where constructive bargaining can actually happen, all driven by smart, planned messaging.
And the stakes are really high. The playbook is pretty blunt about it. Strong, consistent communication decides the outcome. Full stop.
Wow, decides it.
That's the premise. Think about the alternative, right? Weak comms. It's just chaos.
Yeah.
Customers leave. Employees are stuck listening to rumors. Leadership's always reacting, never proactive. And the media just fills in the blanks however they want.
Okay, versus what this playbook promises if you get it right.
Predictability. Updates that calm everyone down, cut down on those panic calls. A single credible path for information for everyone. And this is key, a documented audit trail. Proof of good faith, factual statements.
The audit trail.
Yeah, the source argues that trail is what really helps things get back to normal faster once the strike's over. It builds a record.
Okay, let's unpack this system then. If communication is suddenly this core work stream, like you said, what are the ground rules? How do you communicate under that kind of pressure? What principles apply to every message?
Well, the playbook lays out five essential principles, non-negotiable ones. First, single source of truth. One definitive hub page, one message center. Everybody knows where to look.
One place. Got it.
Second, predictable cadence. This is where it gets really specific. Like, we'll update you at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. daily, period. No wiggle room.
That sounds intense. Sticking to that exact time, twice a day, no matter what.
It's the price of stability, right? Consistency kills anxiety. Third, plain language. Short paragraphs, bullet points, zero jargon, things simple, direct.
Makes sense.
Fourth, respectful neutrality. This is a big one. You have to build a firewall between service updates, what customers need to know, and your bargaining position. Keep them separate.
Respectful neutrality. That sounds incredibly hard when things get heated, like arguing over wages or benefits. How do you talk about a bargaining session without sounding, you know, defensive or like you're pointing fingers?
That's the tightrope walk, definitely. The principle means sticking to facts. Tone matters, no inflammation, you acknowledge the other side. And the fifth principle kind of enforces all this. Documented, every update, every approval, it all gets archived. For audit, for compliance, you're building that permanent record we talked about.
Okay, let's talk stakeholders.
Yeah.
Because those three groups, customers, union, staff, they want different things, sometimes conflicting things. How do you manage that in the comms war room?
You absolutely have to segment based on their core need, their main pain point. For customers, it's continuity and safety. Can I still get my stuff? Is it safe? That's their focus. Any changes to service, hours, delivery, it has to be crystal clear.
Right. Very transactional for them.
Totally. Meanwhile, the union needs signals of good faith. They need clarity on the company's proposals, sure, but maybe even more important is making sure the public tone stays, well, non-provocative. Anything seen as an attack just fuels the fire.
Okay, and the third group, the staff.
Ah, staff. Whether they're striking or working, they need the most complex info. Job security worries, schedule chaos, pay impacts, benefits questions, and managers. They need super clear, actionable instructions. Fast answers to high anxiety questions about their jobs, their livelihoods.
This all sounds incredibly complex to manage in real time.
Which is why the playbook uses that chronological structure. It breaks the whole thing down into three phases. Preparation, stabilization that's during the strike, and recovery.
Okay, let's dig into phase one then. Pre-strike. Preparation and signaling.
Exactly. The goals here are pretty straightforward. Build credibility before things kick off and reduce the element of surprise. This takes real work up front. First step, appoint a dedicated strike communications lead, someone owns it. Then immediately stand up a cross-functional war room.
And what's that war room actually doing before a strike even happens? Are they literally scripting the whole thing out?
Pretty much, yeah. They're drafting tiered statements.
Yeah.
You know, the initial just informing your note, then it's escalating warning, and finally the strike confirmed template, ready to go.
Wow.
They build in the message matrix too. Who gets what message? Customers type A view says B, managers, union local X, through which channel, email, website, phone system, and exactly when. It's all mapped out.
The source also mentioned tabletop exercises in this phase. Is that like a fire drill for comms?
That's a perfect way to put it, yeah. You simulate a curveball, maybe a sudden service problem or safety issue near a picket line, and you make the war room run the whole approval process right then and there.
Ah, so you find the bottlenecks before it's real.
Exactly. Does legal take too long? Does ops not get the info out fast enough? You find out now. And all that prep lets them send out that first, carefully worded, maybe 100-word, external message. The one that sounds optimistic but prepared.
Yeah.
It talks about safe service, reliable service, and it locks in that 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. update promise.
Okay, so all that intense prep leads into phase two, the active strike. Now it's about stability and clarity. Keeping those twice-daily updates going, like clockwork, plus handling any immediate alerts for safety or big service changes.
This phase is all about discipline, communication discipline. The source is adamant. Every single update, no exceptions, has to answer four core questions, clearly.
Four core questions. Okay, what are they? Must be super practical.
Totally practical. One, what changed since the last update? Simple. Two, what's still the same? Especially things like safety rules, emergency contacts, compliance stuff. Reassure people about what's stable. Three, where can I go for help right now? Links, hotlines, self-service options. And four, exactly when is the next update coming? Give the precise time. The playbook even has this little micro template for customer updates. Status, impacts today, safety, help now, next update. Boom, boom, boom.
That structure is super functional, but isn't there a risk of sounding a bit cold? If the goal is keeping customers, where's the empathy? Just facts, facts, facts.
That's the tension, right?
Yeah.
But the playbook argues that in a high-stress, high-anxiety situation, the most empathetic thing you can provide is predictability and hard facts.
Ah, okay. Less fluff, more certainty.
Exactly. Spin or, you know, flowery language just creates ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
And ambiguity breeds anxiety. Giving them a solid, verifiable update exactly when you promised, that manages their anxiety better than any warm words could.
Interesting takes. Okay, and then finally, phase three, post-strike. An agreement's reached. The goal shifts to reassurance, recovery, maybe rebuilding some trust.
Yep. First step is clarity on the path forward. Publish a real return to normal plan. And not just soon. We're talking actual milestone dates. By Tuesday, call center wait times will be back to normal. Specifics.
Okay.
Then you explain the new agreement, make sure everyone understands it. And internally, you absolutely have to do a post-incident review. Look at the comms metrics, the decisions made, what worked, what didn't. Update the playbook. That's how you learn and improve for next time.
Which brings us nicely to section three. This feels like the engine room of the whole thing. The source calls it process before pros. Shifting from what you say to the architecture of how messages actually get created and approved.
Yeah, this is the nuts and bolts. This architecture is what allows for speed without sacrificing accuracy or, importantly, compliance.
Mm.
The war room needs everybody. HR labor liaisons, legal ops, customer experience, safety, IT, media relations, all represented.
And they have strict windows for making decisions.
Ironclad decision windows, these message lock meetings, maybe 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. daily.
Uh-huh.
That's when drafts get finalized, signed off, no delays.
Let's talk about that approval chain. The source details this information supply chain. Starts with ops logging changes.
Right. Operations puts the raw facts into a change log. Just the data. Then comms translates that into plain language for customers or staff. Then it goes to legal and HR.
And legal HR check it against.
Specifically against those neutrality and compliance guardrails we talked about. Is it factual? Is it non-inflammatory? Does it accidentally violate labor law? And here's the key rule. It has to hit the hub page first. Always.
Hub page first.
Only once it's live on that single source of truth can you push it out to email, social, whatever. Hub page is ground zero.
But realistically, how fast can this machine actually work? You've got all these departments, legal especially, who are typically cautious, slow. Getting sign-off in minutes sounds aspirational.
It's a huge challenge, no doubt.
Yeah.
And that's why the playbook sets this, frankly, heroic KPI, approval cycle time for routine updates, under 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yeah. Because anything slower just feeds the rumor mill. It proves the organization can't keep up. It forces leadership to pre-approve frameworks and templates and then trust the war room team to execute within those pre-agreed boundaries.
That speed imperative must really enforce that other guardrail, the impartiality needed when talking about the bargaining itself. What are the absolute don'ts there?
The main don't is simple. Separate bargaining talk from service updates, strictly. When you do report on negotiations, it's facts only. Date sessions happened, who was there, mediators, etc., general topics discussed. That's it. No value judgments.
So no saying the union's demands were unreasonable or anything like that?
Definitely not. Use factual phrases. We disagree on the current terms.
Yeah.
Or no agreement was reached on X. And for staff messages, never ever speak for union members. Always point them back to their union reps for official union business.
Okay, let's pivot to the specific tools for different audiences. Starting internally with staff, they need practical info, fast, especially if things are tense.
Safety first, absolutely. Internal comms have to be incredibly detailed on things like site access rules, strict picket line protocols, what you can and can't do, and really clear non-confrontation guidance. Maybe even providing escorts if needed. Remove all ambiguity that could lead to trouble.
And the source highlighted this manager huddle script, like a quick briefing tool for supervisors.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Designed to be like 90 seconds long, perfect for shift changes. It gives managers the quick operational status, repeats key safety reminders, gives them the approved customer talking points for that specific day, tells them where to send employee questions, and confirms the next official update times, like a mini manual for managing the immediate moment.
Smart. Okay, shifting outside now to customers. The philosophy is retention over spin. When they get that twice daily update, what absolutely has to be in there to keep them on board?
Well, beyond the basic status, the update must clearly state what's different today. It needs to offer alternatives, push self-service, other channels, maybe even other vendors if that's relevant.
Yeah.
And crucially, guarantees.
Guarantees, like what?
Specific promises. Refunds for missed service, easier rescheduling, adjustments to SLAs. Tangible things that show you value their business despite the disruption. They need to know what they're getting back for the hassle.
Makes sense. And we shouldn't forget the simpler channels like the phone system's on hold message.
Right. The source gives an example. It needs to be super concise. Mentions service changes up front. Direct callers straight to the online hub for faster help. State the 10 a.m., 4 p.m. update times. Basically, manage expectations that at the phone line is for urgent stuff only.
And finally, dealing with the external noise media, social media.
Keep it tight and factual. For the press, have a pre-approved, maybe 70-word, fact-only holding statement ready. It just acknowledges the situation, maybe expresses hope for resolution, and points reporters firmly to the official hub page.
Don't get drawn into arguments.
Exactly. And same for social media. The rule is, correct significant rumors, but don't debate. Just post a link back to the relevant info on the hub page. Use social to drive traffic to the single source of truth, not to fight battles in the comments.
Okay. Now, the big question. How do you know if all this effort, the process, the cadence, the speed actually worked? What are the hard measures of success, the KPIs?
They are very specific and, yeah, unforgiving. Success isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling. For volume and containment, the main target is seeing inbound customer contacts calls, emails per 1,000 customers, go down by 25% or more. Once that comms rhythm is established.
75%, that's significant. That shows you're actually reducing anxiety.
Precisely. It proves people are getting the info they need from your updates, not calling in panic. And the flip side is self-service.
Right, you want people using the online tools more.
Exactly. The target there is self-service completion rate up by at least 10%. If they trust the info on your hub, they'll use the tools instead of clogging the phone lines.
And those internal execution metrics we talked about, the speed factor.
Yep. Execution quality. That's 100% on-time publication for those scheduled updates. And hitting that under 30-minute approval cycle for routine stuff, if you miss those, the narrative gets away from you. Success here is really measured by discipline and sticking to the architecture.
That really sums it up perfectly. Effective strike communication, based on this playbook anyway, seems way less about finding the perfect words in the moment and much more about rigorous process, defined roles, and just relentless, measurable consistency.
Yeah, the prose matters less than the process.
Right. The whole key seems to be managing that anxiety and speculation by just being the single predictable source of truth for everyone involved.
And you know, that intense focus throughout the playbook on documentation, on compliance, archiving everything, it raises a really interesting final thought.
Mm.
Well, the playbook insists every update, every approval, every decision gets logged for potential audit or review later. So the communication process isn't just about managing perception right now. It's fundamentally about building an undeniable, legally sound historical record of what was said, when, and by whom.
An undeniable historical record. Wow, that does shift the perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. If you think about these situations as the playbook implies, as a kind of high-stakes information battleground, then maybe that process of meticulous documentation, that archive, maybe that becomes your most powerful defense.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? How often do our own organizations really document sensitive comms purely for future verification and compliance, not just for getting the message out today?
That's definitely something to think about, a very strategic lens on what often feels like pure chaos. Thanks so much for breaking down this playbook for us.
My pleasure. It was fascinating stuff.
And thank you, as always, for joining us for the deep dive. We'll see you in the next one.